Amen. Today, I am honored to be before you to share a word that I believe God has for you. This was a word that God has been dealing with me about. We are in the series, Ordinary People Doing Extraordinary Things. And that is what we are. We are ordinary people that have been called by God to do what? Extraordinary things. Look at the person next to you and say, you are designed to do extraordinary things. Yes, turn the other side and say it to them too. So I don't want you to get comfortable with the ordinary, but I want you to start getting comfortable with the extraordinary. I want to pick up where I left off, where I was speaking about how God had called several of us to the vineyard. He had called us to do a work in the house of the Lord. He had called us to achieve something in his kingdom. And many of you, God has called. God has spoken to you. God has said, hey, this is what I want you to do. I need what you have. I need you to stop looking at the burning bush, but I need you to take off your shoes and declare that I am holy. Hello, somebody. He has called us to someplace higher than we have ever been before. And so what God is speaking to us about at this point is this. He wants us to endure what we go through so we can become what we are called to be. Write that down. Endure what we go through so we can become what we are called to be. Endurance. Last week, we read about how there were certain groups of people that made excuses. When I always used to think that Jesus was the kind of cool dude where whenever he walked up to somebody and says, come, follow me, and then everybody would just drop what they had. Oh, Jesus, Jesus. And they would run after him. And so he went to Peter, and he says, Peter, follow me. Yes, Lord. He went to James and John. James, follow me. And they looked at their daddy and say, we quit. And they went to following Jesus, right? No, that's not how it works. I read last week, Jesus looked at a man and said, follow me. And the man said, on one condition. You let me go back home and bury my father. Now, many times we hear this, we think that's a reasonable request. But you have to understand that was a Jewish statement to mean after my father dies and I bury him, I'll get my inheritance. And when I got enough money to live by, then I'll come serve you. And Jesus said these words, let the spiritually dead bury their dead. You follow me. So let me say this to all of you. Let the spiritually dead bury the dead. You who are spiritually alive, follow me. In other words, you know too much to get caught up in the mundane things of this world, trying to make a living and saying it's all about having enough to be comfortable and then I'll give my life to God. How many of us when we were growing up would say, you know what, I'll give my life to God when I have run the streets, done everything I'm big enough and bad enough to do, and then I'll give my life to God. You burn out by then. You're like a hot dog in a microwave. It's just shriveled up. You live life in the fast lane, and now nobody wants to partake of that Oscar Mayer wiener. No, he says, if you don't know me, let them handle that. Those who are worried about money, let them run after that. When you know there's more to life than money, you who know that there's more, that the body is just a shell, but you have a spirit on the inside that's not stuck to the shell when someone dies, you follow me. Because you know God or that person you love the most is not in that shell. That's what he was saying to this disciple who was making a bargain with God. My statement to the church today is, no more bargains. And we used to say back in the day, no deal. Somebody said, well, if you just do, no deal. You got to be able to say to the enemy when he comes and say, hey, you need this, this, or this, no deal. Whatever God asks me to do, I'm going to do it. And I'm not going to wait until everything's perfect to get up and serve God. No deal. Some of you are living together and you're not married. No deal. It got quiet, didn't it? My God. I was like, did my mic go off? Hello? Why? Because we have been so conditioned by our society that living together is okay. It's a way to get to know somebody. It's a way to know whether they're the right one or not. No deal. God said, either you're married or you're not married. There is no in between. Period. There's enough people in the world that are trying to tell you a lie and say, oh, yeah, you can hang out. You can do whatever you want. God accepts you just like you are. That is the biggest lie I have ever heard. Now, before you get mad, say, what kind of church is this? Love demands, if I love you, and you have your 1 foot off a cliff, and you say, and you're leaning backwards, and I say to you, grab my hand. And you say, no, accept me as I am. Then that means I must watch you fall. And that is not love. God is. People think when Jesus came to the earth, he came and said, hey, everybody, I'm the cool. I'm the bobblehead Jesus. I love everybody. Yeah. And I like that Jesus because he don't make anybody mad. The dude lasted 3 years on the earth because they couldn't take his truth. Some of y'all wouldn't last a week if you talk like Jesus. Listen, truth makes people leave church. They'd be like, oh, how, who does he, who does he think? What? I'm just telling the truth to make you free. You want to be free. You say, God, I need you. I need you to make a breakthrough in my life. He says, okay, then break loose of that. And we go, no, I didn't hear you right. God, I need a breakthrough. I need a breakthrough in my life. And he says, yes, I repeat myself, break loose of that. And we go, no, because that I like that. Break me free of the things I don't like. Isn't that really what we're telling God? God, I want to be free of everything I don't like. I don't want to work anymore, God. Hallelujah. Give me $1 million. $1 million. And when he gives you $1 million, you'll be 1 million times worse than you were before. Because now you can pay for your habit. True love doesn't tell you what you want to hear. True love tells you what you need to hear. And Jesus loves us in such a way that he will let us know. I love it. When Jesus came, he said these words to us, and we know it. He says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever should believe on him should have eternal life. He was talking about himself. True love, God so loved us that he sent me. And then he goes on and says something that we don't read often. I didn't come into this world to condemn you. See, everybody thinks Jesus shows up and then all of a sudden everybody's condemning everybody. He said, no, you were condemned already. The lifestyle you were living spoke for you. I came that if you would believe on me, I can set you free. And then he preached the first message, repent, for the kingdom of God is here for you. In other words, you don't have to get stuck where you are, for God has arrived. Come out and change. The greatest message of love isn't leave me like I am. It is change. Look at your neighbor and say, will you change? Turn the other side and try to be a little bit louder. We get nervous asking people to change because we lose relationships. If I say the right thing, they're not going to like me. If I don't agree with them, they're going to think I'm bigoted or a hypocrite. They're going to say of me that I am closed-minded. They're going to tell me that I have hatred in my heart. But truth has nothing to do with feelings. Truth always sets you free. Always. God never let me be blind to the truth, because it has the ability to make you the best you could ever become. Don't we all want to be told the truth by the people around us? You know why a man is making $1 million right now? Because he won't tell people. People are afraid to tell other people their breath stink. So they made mints. And he's making $1 million. Tic Tacs is around because we don't want to tell people the truth. Hello.
Hello.
All because truth is not comfortable. But true love always tells you what's right and will tell you what's wrong. If you plan on being extraordinary, extraordinary people are honest with themselves. They seek wisdom and truth. They sit at the feet of people who will be honest with them. Some of us in a room, in this room, have aughts with our parents, aughts with the ones who gave birth to us. Because at some point in our life, we didn't agree with them, but they were trying to tell us the truth. And so we have an ought, and we don't want to go back because that would admit we're wrong, because we don't want to be truthful with ourselves. And God says, be truthful first with yourself and go back and acknowledge if it wasn't for them, you wouldn't be alive today. Honor your mother and father. You know why he says that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God gave you? It's because a person who cannot honor the mother and father never see the benefits that people give to them. They just take, 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 and take. And one day you might take from the wrong person. Be truthful and call your mama up. Call your father up. They don't have to be perfect, but at least they gave birth to you. You wouldn't be here if you can't think of nothing else to say thank you for. Thank you for making me me. That's truth. Jesus was dealing with this, and he was dealing with somebody who he asked to come and follow him in the kingdom. And I want you to turn to Luke chapter 9, verse 61 through 62 in the new NLT. Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9, verse 61 through 62. And we get to the last person that Jesus literally asked to follow him. So he gives us not only the good stories, but the negative ones. And here's what happened. And another said, "Yes, Lord, I will follow you." Everybody say, "But." "But first, let me say goodbye to my family." In other words, you think that's a logical, "Hey, just let me say goodbye." That's not what that means. What it meant in the true translation was, "Let me go back and experience the life I used to in my family. And then when I'm done with it, I'll give the rest to you." Shriveled up hot dog. And so here's what Jesus says in the next verse, on this verse. He says, "Anyone who puts his hand to the plow and then looks back is not what? Fit for the kingdom of God." The kingdom of God is, he wasn't talking about heaven. He was talking about the kingdom of God is here. The Bible says, Jesus came and said, "Behold, the kingdom of God is at hand." It's here. We are expanding it when we serve God. And he says, a person who grabs a plow, that, watch this, now I need you to understand, a plow has an oxen on it, and your job only is to keep it straight. The power to do the work is in the oxen. So God gives you the power to perform what he called you to do. He gives you the equipment to do what he called you to do. And all he asks you to do is hold it straight and don't look back. You don't even have to pay for the equipment. God made you, shaped you, made you in his image. He put in you your talents. And all you have to do is put them to work in the field. But when a person grabs the plow and they know God called them and they do this, then what happens is the oxen doesn't know which way to go. So you veer it off, and the furrows you were creating start to look crazy. And people say, "I'm not going to eat out of that field. Look at how it's made." He says, "You're not fit," meaning healthy enough, strong enough, mind strong enough to serve in the kingdom if you look back. If you know you've been called, and God is calling you. Many of you here may not even come from this church. You may be visiting for the very first time, but you heard God call you. Don't look back. Don't stop what he started. Finish and endure. Let me give you an example of when I almost quit. Anybody ever feel like quitting before? The rest of us aren't telling the truth. Let's try that again. Has anybody in this building ever felt like quitting before? Well, keep your hands in the air now. Just keep it in the air. I want y'all to look around. That's a whole lot of people, right? I too, once experienced wanting to quit. It was years ago. Let me tell you what happened. You know, I was serving in a church, and I was in college. And anybody in college here? Anybody in college? See, if you ever gone to college, anybody ever gone to college? Anybody been in college? Okay, you know, you are really skinny in college. You got your best body in college, and it ain't on purpose because you ain't got no money to buy food. So I didn't have money, I didn't have food, but I was in charge of the youth. So I had to travel, take the church van, drive to a city almost 2 hours away, put gas in it. Now I don't have money anyway. Pick up the kids. It was like 12 of them. They come from a very, very, very rural area. Okay, I'm talking about shotgun houses, okay, with one barrel. You know what I'm talking about? So I get them all in a van, and I had to take them back to my apartment and keep them through the weekend so they could go to church. I had to feed them with what little money I had. So I remember feeding them and having to starve for the next 3 weeks. I'd make cereal. And you know what? Cereal works with water. You didn't know that? It really does. No, I'm just playing. I would make dinner, and it was hard. Somebody say hard.
Hard.
It was difficult. And yet, when I got to church, my job was on the next day to find people in the church who would take one of these kids and keep them for the rest of the weekend. That was my job. So I would come to church the next day, and I would talk to people, and they would go, no, I can't keep them this weekend. No, I'm busy. But if the pastor asked, sure, bring them on, I'll take four. But if the pastor didn't ask, don't knock on my door. You know I'm busy on the weekends. Don't you dare knock on my door. I remember knocking on this one lady's door. I said, can you keep any kids this weekend? And she said, don't you ever come back to my house about keeping kids, because I don't want to keep kids, and the church knows it. So don't bother me again, and I don't like you anyway. So I turned around, got back on the van, went home. Next day, we went to church. I had 12 people in my apartment. Walked in the church door. I was so angry. So angry at this lady, at the way that people treat people, the way they talk to me. And I'm giving my life. I'm giving everything I have, weekend after weekend. Nobody's appreciating me. Nobody's saying thank you. It's just expected. So I said, you know what? This is the last day I'm coming to this church. How many else felt like quitting before? So I remember walking in the church that day, and I said, I'm going to take one simple look around the sanctuary one last time. I dropped the kids off, saw that lady. She looked at me. I looked at her. I said, that's the last look I'll ever see that lady again. I walked in the sanctuary. Service was going on. I went from the left. Okay, last time I'm going to see that person. Okay. Going to the right. And then the preacher was preaching in the pulpit. And when I got to the preacher, he stopped his sermon in the middle of his message. And he said these words. Hold on. God just told me that someone walked in this building who said this is the last time they're walking in this sanctuary. They're going to quit and never come back. Now, I'm at the back door going, oh, my God. You know, I'm thinking, did I write it on my shirt? Did I? And I'm standing there back at the door because I hadn't even got to the left side of the building yet. And I'm sitting there and he goes, God told me to give you a verse. And he said, Jeremiah chapter 12, verse 4 and 5. Would you turn to that? Jeremiah, chapter 12, verse 4 and 5. Endurance. Endurance. Jeremiah, chapter 12, verses 4 and 5. Endurance. Endurance. I'm enduring. Look at this. Here's what Jeremiah said. This was Jeremiah's, the prophet, the man of God, the one who walked with the Lord, heard him in King James language, thou art awesome. He was God's beloved. He heard the voice of God. He walked with God. He was a holy man. And here's what Jeremiah, like many of us, no matter what, how holy we think we are, he can hurt too. And Jeremiah said these words, "How long must this land mourn?" He's talking to God. "Even the grass in the fields have withered." He says, "The wild animals and the birds, they even left." And then verse 5, God responds to him. And he says these words, "If racing against mere men makes you tired, how will you race against the horses? How will you," turn the verse, "how will you race against horses? If you stumble and fall on open ground, when it's wide open, what will you do in the thickets near Jordan?" In other words, if you can't walk with your fellow foot soldiers because they irritate you and they get on your nerves, you know, the person next to you is chewing gum and you just like, "Ooh, stop." If you can't get along and endure fellow Christians, how are you going to be used by God when it's real warfare out in the field? How are you going to run with the horses with the big boys? If on an open plain where there's no rocks and nothing to make you stumble, and you're having it's a great day today at Frontier Church, there's really nothing wrong, and yet you still have an offense, what are you going to do when you get near Jordan River and the thickets rise up and you start to have to walk through that mud? How are you going to survive? Ladies and gentlemen, what I'm saying to you is you have to be able to endure testing. You have to endure when things don't go right or feel right. Your walk with God is not determined on how you feel. Please hear me. Your walk with God is based on his character and that alone. He is faithful and just, and he is true. So we stumble with each other when we can be walking with God. Now, let me read something to you. Here's what Jesus said in the last days about enduring hardships. This is found in Matthew 27, starting at verse 1. And he says these words, "For nation shall rise up against nation, and kingdom against kingdom." Do we have it up? Matthew 24, verse 7. Verse 7. 24, 7, you got it? Okay, he's getting it. He says this, "For nation will go to war against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in many parts of the world." Are we experiencing that right now? "But all this is only the first of birth pains," meaning you're just getting started in labor with more to come. Here's what he says is going to happen to all of us if we are standing on our faith. "Then you will be," everybody say then. That means after all that stuff, "then you will be what?" Mercy. "And?" Mercy. "And?" "You, you will be Amen. All over the world because you are my followers." Has anybody ever experienced hate from somebody because you're a Christian? See, listen, all of that's going to happen. You're going to go through that. Verse 10. He says this, "And many will turn away from me and betray and hate one another." In verse 11, and many false prophets will appear and deceive many people. And sin will become rampant everywhere. And the love of many will grow cold. You know, the greatest battle that we must struggle against is letting our hearts grow cold. I want you to check yourself right now. Have you been hurt to the point where your heart says, you know what, I'll never dot, dot, dot. That means your heart has dropped in temperature. I want you to turn the temperature back up by forgiving people, letting them go, loving people. Say, Lord, no matter what persecution I endure, no matter what I go through, I must endure. Because a strong believer is one who endures hardship, yet their heart stays tender. Church, I'm asking you today, is your heart tender? When was the last time you cried before the Lord? When was the last time when you saw God move and it moved you so much you wept because of the good things you were seeing? That's a tender heart. Watch this. Through all of this craziness and external tension, a person, even through all of this, this is why we're talking about endurance, is going to be judged on whether this happens. Watch this. Down at verse 14, it says, and the good news about the kingdom will be preached throughout the whole world so that all nations will hear. You hear me? Throughout the whole world so that all nations will hear. You going to turn it for me? Amen. So that the whole world will hear it, and then the end will come. Now, what is that saying? I know you may be wondering why I chose that verse. Because all these hardships that we go through in life that you're struggling with, that you may say is like the biggest thing in the world, isn't what is on his mind. Can you keep your heart tender and still share the gospel? Because that is what he's looking for from you. And all the hurt you went through, can you still give good news? Or does the trouble that you're facing shut your Christianity down? Or is it that when someone in the church doesn't make you feel comfortable, you leave? Or if a friend offends you once, you're offended forever. You have to be able, in God's eyes, to be able to be strong enough to endure persecution, murders, killings, people throwing your name out as evil, and still keep a tender heart so that you can show love to somebody else. What are we stumbling over now? I want to share with the church today, I want you to keep your heart tender. I want you to remember that you have to endure. You have to endure temptation. You got to get through this phase, because the strongest Christian is the one who lets God guide him even when they don't feel like it. Even when it looks like everything's breaking down. They say, Lord, I cannot see, but I trust you by faith to walk in your way no matter what happens. I may lose my job, but I won't lose you. I may lose my lover, but I won't lose you. I may lose my mind, but you'll give it back. God, I need you. I won't stop calling on your name. You've got to understand, Jeremiah was ready to call it quits. But in the middle of his trial, he called upon the name of the Lord. He didn't keep it to himself, but he lifted his hand and said, Lord, you got to answer this for me. And he answered, I need you to be tougher. I need you tougher. Church, would you stand to your feet, please? Pastor, they gossip about me. I need you to be tougher. Pastor, but you spoke roughly to me. I need you to be tougher. They keep asking me for stuff. I need you to be tougher. It seems like my world is falling apart. I need you to be tougher. I just want to quit. I need you to be tougher. Because you're not going to make it if you quit now. You need to press on. You need to encourage one another. Turn to your neighbor and say, I need you to make it. Turn the other side and say, I need you to survive. Listen, you have more value than you understand. We're not willing to leave any man behind. You've got to make it. You've got to survive. You can't be sidetracked by these little stuff that don't amount to nothing. I'm sorry the lights were too bright. The music was too loud. The usher didn't smile. The guy on the scriptures was so slow today. I quit. I'm quitting as pastor. I'm done. I'm tired of coming up here ready to preach and the words are coming slow. I quit. The pastor, all these people, they need to hear what God said. I don't care. These are God's people. He can handle them. No. I got to endure whatever I face because your life is that important. Would you close your eyes and bow your heads for a second? I'm going to say a prayer for all of us. God, we give up too easy on small stuff. Someone doesn't like somebody, we jump in and we give up on them too. Lord, we say it's too hard to do, or we're not worthy. God, don't let us quit when we're going through our trials. Don't let us quit when people want to quit around us. Help us to get up again, to believe again, to be passionate again, to trust you again, to raise our hands again and say, Lord, you're God, and you can do anything but fail. And we'll give our all to you, God. In Jesus' name, amen. Listen, if you're here today and you've been going through something and you need God to help you make it, I'm going to invite you to come to the altar so I can pray for you. I want you to come down. And if it's been hard for you, come on down. Come on down. Those ministers willing to be used, I need you to come up and help me. You're going through stuff that is hard and difficult. But how many know God can change your situation with a word? That's all you need, a word from God. A word. He doesn't mind that we struggle. It's just that when we give up, we're saying there is no God for us. I'm here to tell you there's a God for you. Amen. He's alive and well. and strong. So I'm going to ask all ministers to step up to the person.